This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you news of the world. Tonight, Washington. Wallace says $6 billion for Europe is a hoax. He wants $50 billion for the world. International. Communism cracks the whip over Czechoslovakia. Lake Success. The United States wants consultation on Palestine ahead of force. Now, a brief message from Tom Moore.
Remember that song of a few years ago, The Music Goes Round and Round? Don't know if you've ever thought of it before, but it can be sort of like that with acid indigestion. Yes, you may get all irritated and upset over something that happens, so you don't digest your food well. Then comes acid indigestion. Then the acid indigestion irritates and upsets you further, and so on, round and round. So the thing to do is put a stop to this cycle. And the most effective way to get relief from occasional acid indigestion is to alkalize with Alka-Seltzer. Just drop one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets into a glass of water, watch it sparkle and listen to it fizz, then drink the bubbling, pleasant-tasting solution this makes. Why, in almost no time at all, you ought to feel relieved. And there's some good reasons, too. Since Alka-Seltzer is dissolved before you take it, it's ready to go right to work. And Alka-Seltzer not only offers relief from the upset, jittery feeling of acid indigestion, it also actually helps reduce excess stomach acidity. Try it. Make sure your home is always well supplied with Alka-Seltzer. Buy two packages from your druggist instead of one. Now, Alka-Seltzer brings you the noted commentator, author, and reporter, Morgan Beatty.
Tonight's news, by coincidence, gives the nations of the world a brief glimpse of themselves without benefit of rose-colored glasses. First, we start tonight with the pictures in brief. Later, we'll have them in detail. In Czechoslovakia, communism strutted rapidly toward power. The communists were armed with guns, bayonets attached, demonstrations by thousands of followers with clenched fists, and the blaring of public address, soundtrack, and radio in the press, all traveling on a one-way street. In the United Nations, the United States recognized the ugly fact that Palestine is a threat to international peace and reluctantly asked the big powers to consult on ways and means to restore law and order. In Washington, the new party of the left, in the person of Henry Wallace, labeled the Truman Doctrine a blueprint for war, a means for Wall Street monopolists to enslave Europe. In Washington, spokesmen for both parties, including President Truman, condemned higher steel prices. Now, detail. First, the crisis in Czechoslovakia. We cross the Atlantic to hear from Henry Cassidy, NBC's European news director.
The communist regime in Czechoslovakia is claiming a victory tonight in the struggle for control of that Central European country. The claim is that the Social Democratic Party has come under left-wing domination and will cooperate with the communists. If true, that means the two parties can command a majority in the Czech parliament and may form a government of their own. Communist Premier Clement Gottwald, whose previous coalition cabinet collapsed, is going ahead with his efforts to hold power. An order was broadcast by Prague Radio tonight to the mayors of all communities in Czechoslovakia to cooperate with the new Central Committee for Action. Gottwald is trying to base his new government on that committee, including communist and socialist members, but excluding the non-communist ministers who quit in protest against manipulation of the police. Among the socialist members of the committee is former Premier Stirlinger, who is reported to have regained control of the Social Democratic Party. I knew Stirlinger in Moscow during the war as Czech minister to the Soviet Union. He had a reputation then as a leader of the left wing. The communists, demonstrating in the central square of Prague tonight, are rejoicing at the news that he is again president of his party. That report has not been confirmed. And if true, the change was not effected without violence. A row took place in the Social Democratic headquarters today, during which armed police arrived but did not intervene. The party will make a statement tomorrow. This is Henry Cassidy.
Next, the American plan for Palestine. Here's John McVane at the United Nations.
The United States today made a lengthy statement before the Security Council to explain American policy on sending a military force to Palestine. Aboard the presidential yacht in the Caribbean, President Truman said the American position was accurately presented. But when Ambassador Warren Austin, the American delegate, had finished speaking, nobody here was quite sure what the American position is. The speech is being called one of the most astute and diplomatic yet made by an American at the UN. It was taken to mean the United States will furnish troops to a UN force for Palestine. It was also taken to mean that the petition plan, which the United States supported almost violently last November, will be scrapped gradually during the coming months. The impression among diplomats here is the United States today opened the way for some solution more acceptable to the Arabs, possibly a federal state after a period of UN trusteeship. The crux of the American statement was Mr. Austin's assertion the Security Council legally has no right to enforce petition, but it can use armed force to keep order in Palestine if it first decides international peace is threatened there. The United States also noted the Security Council is not bound to accept the UN petition plan as the means of settling the threat to peace. Mr. Austin proposed the council consult the British, the Arabs, and the Jews. He proposed the Big Five get together and consult about what to do. But the United States did not make any definite offer of troops. This is John McVane at the United Nations.
Now, the Wallace plan to bring the world out of post-war chaos, as he gave it today before the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Here it is, recorded outside official precincts. Mr. Wallace.
My plan is a United Nations plan for true cooperation among the impoverished nations of the world, for American aid that will also promote prosperity here at home, for making the United Nations the chief architect of the universal well-being and enduring peace. This 8-point plan is as follows. One, a UN reconstruction fund would be used to put agriculture and industry in devastated nations on a self-sustaining basis. Two, the major emphasis of the plan would be on repairing damage to soil, structures, and equipment with a view to expanding economies. Three, all nations that could afford to would contribute. Part of the appropriations from contributing nations would be in the form of loans for capital development and part in grants for emergency relief. Four, priority would be given to nations suffering most severely from the aggression of the fascist Axis without regard to the politics of the country. There would be no political strings to loans. Countries receiving loans could nationalize industries if they wished. The UN fund would be used for peaceful purposes only. No funds going for military purposes. Seven, a world food granary would be established with the American farmer being encouraged to produce to the limit with a guaranteed price floor. Eight, the German Ruhr would be placed under international administration and control by the Big Four, the United States, the Soviet Union, Britain, and France. Its production would be used to reconstruct Europe. This plan embodies the principles of cooperation and assistance which the American people support. It is a realistic plan for peace.
Mr. Wallace preceded his own plan today with a detailed attack on the Truman Doctrine in general and the Truman-sponsored European Recovery Program in particular. The new party leader appeared at his own request to criticize his former teammates in the New Deal. He said the Marshall or Truman Plan, ERP, has been perverted by American monopoly into a Germany First program and a colossal hoax on the American people. All of this and 10,000 Wallace words more before the Foreign Affairs Committee. The appearance of the former vice president was magnified in the headlines by two startling facts. First, the House committee refused to permit newsreels, television cameras, and microphones to record the Wallace opposition to the Marshall Plan. The committee had permitted these same devices of the modern news world to focus attention on other witnesses. The Wallace people called this censorship. The committee apparently acted in the belief that the Wallace testimony did not warrant that much emphasis. The net result, the committee did not soft-pedal the Wallace testimony, but rather intensified it. In the second place, there was, surprisingly, only a mild challenge to the Wallace views in the committee hearing. For example, Mr. Wallace called for new faces in this country's executive branch. Presumably, he meant a new face in the White House, particularly his own. To that, Representative Bolton, the Ohio Republican, suggested some changes in faces might also be needed in the Soviet Union. Mr. Wallace replied that would be much more difficult to bring about in Russia. And Representative Lawrence H. Smith, the Wisconsin Republican, apparently thought to turn the discussion, perhaps lightly, but to turn it toward the prospect for a Republican face in the White House next year. He said to the witness, "We're hoping," meaning the Republicans are hoping, "very fondly for some changes in November." Mr. Wallace promptly put on a deadpan face and replied solemnly, maybe mockingly, "I thank you for your support." It remained for Representative Carl Mundt, the South Dakota Republican, to take issue with Mr. Wallace on the $64 question, namely, how Mr. Wallace and his party reconcile support for civil rights right down to the dog catcher in America while they do not loudly condemn things that happen in strange ways in such places as Czechoslovakia. Mr. Munt preferred to make his challenge a tiptoe. He brought up the question of Russian intervention in Eastern European countries. The witness agreed there is Russian interference. But how much, he thought, it's impossible to say. With the situation as it now is, Mr. Wallace said, I don't see any danger of Russia taking over Western Europe. Communist regimes might take over in some countries, he reasoned, but Russia would not dominate. Now the detailed picture on the new departure in the price structure in the United States. We have inscrutable contrast today of Henry Wallace attacking monopolies, big business, charging the Truman administration with being some sort of a tool of these interests, while at the same moment, on orders from President Truman, the Justice Department sent FBI agents to 16 steel companies. The FBI question was, in effect, how come a $5 increase in steel prices by several companies at the same time? Was that by agreement? Agreement that might violate the antitrust laws? On the House floor, Republican Representative Poulsen of California turned the heat on his own party leaders as well as Big Steel. He demanded a full-scale investigation and exposé. He charged excessive profits in steel in the last 2 years have been made. The steel companies, he added, are seeking an excess profits tax and price controls, whether they know it or not. In New York, men in the steel trade spoke guardedly. They hinted that the whole issue might be a tempest in a teapot, that only a small part of the steel industry's output is affected by the new price schedules. But tonight in Philadelphia, Republican Governor James H. Duff demanded that industry lead the battle against inflation by rolling back prices. And the chief executive of the nation's largest steel-producing state said recent steel price increases show a shocking disregard for the national welfare. At such a tremendously critical time as the present, it would seem some of our industrial and labor leaders are either unaware of or refused to accept the challenge of events, he said. In Washington, the Senate tonight passed by a voice vote and sent to the House a bill continuing rent control for 14 months more. And that's what happened around the mulberry bush today.
Morgan Beatty will return with some more late news. Does the air in your office or store sometimes get stuffy and cause you to be troubled with a headache? Well, if so, try a glass of sparkling Alka-Seltzer for really fast, effective relief. Since Alka-Seltzer is dissolved before you take it, the pain-relieving agent's ready to go right to work. And because of its effervescent base, Alka-Seltzer gets there fast, gives fast relief. Your druggist has Alka-Seltzer in 30 and 60-cent size packages.
When you buy vitamins, get the greatest value for your money. Listen.
Penny for penny, you get more milligrams of vitamins when you buy one-a-day brand multiple vitamins.
Yes, penny for penny, one-a-day brand multiples give you more milligrams of vitamins than any other nationally known brand of multiple vitamins sold by your druggist. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which requirements have been established in human nutrition. Dependable for strength, purity, quality, and...
Penny for penny, you get more milligrams of vitamins when you buy one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. Now, here again is Morgan Beatty.
And here are signs of our times. Washington, Senator John McClelland of Arkansas said today that President Truman, by his stand on civil rights, had thrown away his chances of being reelected. And the senator preferred Senator Byrd of Virginia for president. Senator Johnston of South Carolina went part way with Senator McClellan. He thought the Democrats would stand a better chance with somebody else, say, Secretary of State George Marshall. Meanwhile, the Democratic rebels discussed plans to create an official Democratic Party in each state in the South that could cooperate with the National Party or split away as it should choose. Minneapolis. The union teachers of Minneapolis schools went on strike on schedule today against a short term that will reduce their annual wages. The teachers picketed the schools and the city hall. The children got an unscheduled vacation. Washington, Senator Alvin Barkley of Kentucky, the Democratic minority leader, practically abandoned tonight the Truman stand for a tax cut for the little taxpayers and a tax rise for the big ones. Senator Barkley told the Republican Finance Committee members that they may get Democratic support for a tax cut up to $4 billion. And that's the news of the world. Until tomorrow at this same time, this is Morgan Beatty, speaking for Alka-Seltzer, saying goodbye from the newsroom in Washington.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.